Learn how to hack growth on Zero Budget with Austin Allred.
Thanks, guys. So my name is Austin Allred, and I guess the reason why I'm here is I've been growth hacking before it was known as growth hacking back in the days of AltaVista and Lycos, and I think I've kind of figured it out. Like, I think I'm now at the point where you can take the same processes and methodology and apply it to any single company and grow any company with zero marketing budget. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about that today. And it's been a really long, I guess, path to discovery for me. So I want to talk through a few stories because most importantly, the mindset of how you should approach growth hacking, that's always been the most helpful for me. The book, so that goes through step by step, every channel. Okay, Twitter, here's how you beat Twitter. Here's how you grow by 1,000 followers a week. Instagram, same thing. SEO, here's how you rank for, here's what keywords you can rank for. Here's how you rank for them. So that will go into a lot of the nitty gritty tactical stuff. And what I want to talk about today is a methodology or a mindset to growth. And it's actually really simple. It's taken me a long time to come to this, but it comes down to two simple things. And the first is finding exactly who your target audience is, who your market is, figuring out where those people tend to congregate. And then the second part is getting in front of them in any way possible. Sometimes that's really simple and really straightforward. Sometimes that requires beating some system, but I can't think of an example of where that doesn't work. I've thought for a while, I now work at LendUp, just down the road. I wasn't sure if it would work for a finance company, but it definitely does. And we've grown 15% month over month for the past year. So doing okay. So the first story I want to talk about is my friend back home in Utah. He started a necktie company. So it's like hand-sewn custom neckties that he would like go to thrift stores and rip them off couches or import weird fabric from Japan and sell them for $80, $90, $100 a pop. Stuff that I would never, ever buy. So he kind of approached me and he was like, hey, how do we sell a bunch of $80 handmade custom neckties? And the answer is I didn't understand at that time because I'm not that market. So we sat down with him and a bunch of his friends and really kind of went in with them about why they would buy those neckties as opposed to going to H&M and buying something for 10 bucks that looks mostly the same. Maybe it's actually sewn a little bit better because it's not by hand and it's done by somebody that's what they do all day. But what we found was something really interesting. And we found that for those types of people, the people that want to buy $80 hand-sewn neckties, what was important to them was authenticity. So we took that, we went back, and we figured out where those people spend a lot of their time. They are too cool for Facebook. They don't really hang out on Reddit. They don't do Google searches much. There aren't really even any really solid fashion blogs that those people follow. But we found that where they congregate is Instagram. So we had him provide 10 samples of people who he thought would be the perfect person for that market type. We went through all of their posts and looked for any hashtags or keywords or phrases that they use. And looking kind of in an analytical way at that, we found that the keyword they used more than any other was dapper. So I was surprised by that because it didn't seem like a very dapper thing to have, you know, custom hand-sewn necktie. But if you pull out Instagram and you look at hashtag dapper, it'll show you the most recent posts according to that hashtag. And again, after picture after picture after picture, it was something that looked just like my friend would wear. So now we have the market, we have the platform, we have the network. Now, what does that help? Most people would probably just go out and buy a bunch of Facebook ads, plug them into Instagram, but we didn't have the budget to do that, and we didn't really want to do that anyway. So we stumbled upon a method that we call follow, like, like. And so basically what that is we figured out that if you want to interact with somebody on Instagram, you have a few ways you can do it. You can like their posts, you can comment on their posts, you can follow them, you can send them a direct message if they follow you. And we basically made a list of those and then said, okay, which of those are feasible at scale? And we realized that you can like photos on Instagram all day. and you can follow people on Instagram all day. So in the beginning, we did it manually. Eventually, we automated it. But we followed about 10,000 people per day who posted with a hashtag Dapper. And then in the Instagram bio, we had a link to 10% off when the store launched if you drop your email. The first day we opened up, they sold $4,000 worth of neckties. And that's been his full-time job ever since, selling weirdo neckties to people who'd spend way too much money for their neckties. But it works. And I've found that that process continues to work again and again. So we're going to go over a few other examples. Yeah, and the thing that I want you to partially take away from is that everything runs according to a system, and every system can be beat. Everything out there has loopholes. And if you take, say, a social network or even Google's algorithm, and you figure out what touch points you have, there's always a way within those touch points that you can make it scale, that you can touch the right people you want to, that makes it work. So the next one, how an internationally known spammer turned his spamming skills into an $8 billion company. It's Airbnb. So this isn't something that they like to talk about for obvious reasons, but one of the co-founders of Airbnb is on, there's an international spam list. And that's where a bunch of people who are trying to protect email try to figure out who the people are who are breaking email, who are selling exploits. And one of the co-founders of Airbnb just happens to be on that list. They don't pretend like that's coordinated in any way with Airbnb's success, but it definitely is. So Airbnb figured out is they said, okay, we have a bunch of listings, right? We have these people who are willing to sublet their apartments or their houses. Where do people who are looking for that go? So they identified that market and they realized that, you know, most of the time they're going to Craigslist. And in the beginning, Airbnb's goal was to simply get their ads, put them on Craigslist, and siphon off as much traffic as they could. And it turns out that if you're a spammer, you're really, really good at that. So they were doing that at scale. Eventually, Craigslist got angry at them, shut them down, tried to sue them. But then they realized, you know what? We actually don't have to spam anymore. So they built a script that let their customers with one click post their Craigslist ad or their Airbnb ad to Craigslist. And they would email them once every few days. They would come back, post it again. And at that point, it's not them spamming Craigslist. It's them providing people with the opportunity to post on Craigslist. And Craigslist didn't get mad at it. So extrapolate that over a few years. They eventually got enough market share that they didn't have to post on Craigslist. And they are winning and will probably continue to win for the foreseeable future. Another one that I've worked at recently, how many of you have heard of code boot camps? The expensive ones in San Francisco will charge you $20,000 to teach a code over 3 months. And then the idea is you go get a job that pays $100,000. And hey, that was a good deal. So we were working with a new one that was online only. And the big way that code boot camps get you to apply is they say, look, we have a 99.9% graduation rate. And everybody who's ever gone through our program makes at least $100,000. And some of those statistics can be more exaggerated than others, depending on where you're looking. But the students kind of view it as the proof is in the pudding. So this code boot camp was kind of like, all right, no one's ever heard of us. We have no statistics because we're brand new. So what can we possibly do to get people in the door at scale? They first started looking at buying a bunch of ads. Turns out those ads go for really expensive because if this company down the street can make $17,000 off of you converting, they can afford to pay $100 a click. And they weren't in a position to pay that. So what do you guys think? I'm curious what you guys would do in that situation. A new code boot camp trying to get off the ground. What thoughts come to your mind? Community outreach, yeah. So what they did was they put together a 1 month long, 2-night-a-week, after hours, free code boot camp. It obviously wasn't the full thing. They couldn't teach everybody everything. But when they did that, they found that, first of all, anybody who's even vaguely interested in learning to program will take that course, and you just created a huge email list. But second of all, if there's any group anywhere that's trying to help people to program, they're more than happy to say, hey, sign up for this free resource. And they went a little bit farther than most people would and started finding, you know, a bunch of Facebook groups full of people learning to program, started posting their links all over there. Long story short, within a couple weeks, they had 7,000 people signed up for this free boot camp. And of those 7,000 people, 100 people applied for the full boot camp. Now they do that full time. And it worked out. If you do the math on 100 people times $7,000, looks pretty good, especially if you're doing that four times a year and you have two people doing it. And then the last one that I wanted to kind of talk about was why I'm here is because I wrote a book called Secret Sauce, and how we got from $0 to $100,000 in sales before we wrote the book. And it was pretty tough because the internet marketing book space is pretty crowded. There are tons and tons of books written. Most of them are garbage. But we did a few really simple things, and that got us to $100,000 in sales. We sold about 3,000, 4,000. So the first thing we did is we wanted to build up an email list, because if you're an experienced marketer, you know that a big email list is probably the most valuable thing you can have. So I've worked in the past for companies that have tried to grow really big Twitter followings or really big Facebook followings. But if you win on Facebook and you have a million people who like your page, then you have to post something that a significant portion of people like, and then it will start to populate, and then people will start to see it. So you still haven't won the marketing competition yet, even if you have a million likes. If you have a million email addresses, you can drop it directly into people's inbox right with the to-do stuff they have to read every single day. So there's a reason marketers say the money is in the list. One of my most valuable assets probably is the email list I have of people who like to read and buy stuff that I produce or work with companies that I work with. So how do you create an email list in a couple days? Because we decided we wanted to launch the book on a Friday and we put it up on Kickstarter on a Tuesday. So how do you grow an email list in that span of time? So what we figured we should do is kind of what you guys were implying before, find something free that you can give away. Find some way that you can reach out, that you can help people, that you can do as best as you can for free, and then see if they gain enough value from that to keep coming back. So we wrote three chapters, and each chapter was about 10 pages long. So it was real writing, real in-depth stuff. And then we started posting it on marketing forums. And it was legitimate enough that over 3 days, I think we got 1.5 million page views on those three chapters of content. And from there, we had an email list, or we had a direct link to the Kickstarter once we edited those back in, once it went live. And one of the ways that we did that was on Medium. Who's heard of Medium or who uses Medium? I assume we're in San Francisco. Most people know what that is here. Other places, not so much. Medium has a feature called publications. And publications, they're basically kind of magazines that people can subscribe to, they can follow. And the way these publications work is they get a huge follower list and then people will write for them for free. So we basically handed out a couple chapters to the biggest publications. So there's a list online and it's in the book of the biggest Medium publications. And we reached out to all of them, said, hey, we want to publish this out to your following. It's really good stuff. They all agreed because, hey, free content. And that worked really well. Another thing that you can do on Medium is if you know people with big Twitter followings, you can actually sign in to Medium from a Twitter account, and Medium will suck in all of those Twitter followers and have them follow your Medium publication. And then you can sign out and sign in with another Twitter account. So we found some people that had a lot of Twitter accounts left over, and we grew one of the biggest Medium publications overall in about 3 days, just because friends would let us borrow their Twitter account. I don't think that's recommended by Medium, but it definitely works, and it works to this day. And that's, I guess, I don't want to run on too long. So I wanted to ask you guys if there are any growth challenges that kind of you're trying to figure out and see if there's a way we could brainstorm, I guess, as a group and figure out what the next best steps would be for that. So who here has a company or is working on a side project or has something they would like to grow? So the question was, it's a biological company, I guess you could say. They're trying to get into labs, right? So one of the most interesting ways that you can do that, and this works for any B2B company, and it's incredibly cheap, and I'm still waiting for a company to set it up at scale because that would make grundles of money. But there are listings that map companies to what their IP addresses are. So what IP addresses they use internally to access the internet. And similarly, Google, Facebook, and other ad networks will let you target by IP address. So by far the fastest way to get pay-per-click B2B traffic is find what their IP addresses are and then send a crap load of ads at $5 per thousand impressions to target their entire company. And you'll get a response. If you turn up the, so there's a rating called frequency, and that says how many times each individual person will be able to see your ad. And usually if you're operating at scale, you want to keep it below like 3 or 5 because you don't want to show the same ad too many times to too many people. But if there's a company of 100 people and you're paying $5 per thousand impressions, you can turn the frequency to 100 and all they're going to see is your ad all day long, the entire company. So B2B, that's definitely what I would recommend. See if you can figure out what their IP address is. And you could even make a list of labs, right? Start at the top, go to the bottom, get all their IP addresses, and then plug those into Facebook and Google and say, we want to target these, and we'll do it at $5 per thousand click for per thousand impressions. And whether or not that gets you across the finish line, I don't know, but that definitely gets you in the door. Say, you'll want to Google, I'm trying to remember what the database is. If you want to email me, I can email that to you. But basically just Google like company to IP address mapping and somebody keeps a database somewhere. They may charge like $50, $100 for it. But if you're going for any kind of scale whatsoever, it's probably worth it. And if anybody wants to start a SaaS company, that was, if you can make that publicly available and charge for that, people will pay all day long. Yeah, so that's what I would do for that one. Any other? Yeah, a personalized mobile search for leisure and recreation. That's kind of in a similar vein as the Instagram stuff that we talked about earlier, right? It's not like, there's not like a trade organization of those types of people that go like group together. But what you're really looking for is kind of personality quirks that those type of people have. Maybe there's even a hashtag, maybe there's a subreddit they hang out on. I don't know your customer base well enough to say what that is, but I think if you find that, you'll find like that's what you really want, right? To know if you have a product that has legs, find 10 people that just love what you're doing, sit down and talk to them, and then figure out what the connections are between those 10 people. And then when you figure that out, you can figure out, oh, well, if these 10 people are really into it, then there must be, of those 10 people, we found 4 of them like the same thing in this aspect. And then you can go after those people. I don't know your audience well enough to say off the top of my head where that is. It might be a group of like a subreddit of people that love to travel. You might even go the route of, so you can do influencer targeting. So if you find celebrities that those people really like, don't go after like the top tier, go like 5 tiers down from that. So on Instagram, for example, if there's somebody with 1 million followers, they're probably getting contacted 4 or 5 times a day for people that want to do promotions, right? But the people that have 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 followers, they never get contacted. So you could use a tool like Audience, Audience. Basically make a list of all the people who are posting about one of those hashtags that one of your user cohorts likes, and then reach out to those people and see if they'll do a promotional post for $5, for $10. And that way you're not paying $1 million per 1 million followers, you're paying $5 for 20, 30,000. And I found that people who don't do that very often, like they think it's kind of cool. Like, oh, someone will pay me, like post on Instagram? Like, sure. So you have to like work your way down the tier far enough until you find those people. But that works really well. Lighting control? Okay. Like what kind of lighting controls? Okay. So when you say lighting controls, you mean like turn the lights off at this such and such a time because, so is it a direct sales type organization? Is it like, do you have like a salesperson who goes around and like face-to-face like pitches people? Or is it still kind of like you get a call here, you get a call there, you figure it out? Sure. Yeah, that's tough because, I mean, most of my thinking is around like, okay, everybody's online and they're online looking for what you want all the time. And that may not be the case with electrical contractors. Like, I don't know very many of them, but like, I can imagine that it's less of an online sale than some other channels might be, right? Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, everything's online, but it's not like, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely where I'd start. Just start, I mean, whether it's you pay somebody $10 an hour to get on the phone and just call them up one by one or find a list and email everybody. I mean, once you do that, you'll probably have learnings that you can optimize from, but that's definitely like if you haven't done that, that's definitely the place to start. So yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So you're targeting people at work to like get, I assume it's one of those box delivery companies where like once a week or once a month you get like a big box of coffee and kind of a Birchbox kind of thing. Yeah, I don't really drink tea or coffee, so I don't understand that market super duper well. But I would imagine that your key is going to be free samples. And you could even structure in a way that, like PayPal back in the day said, if you refer one person, we'll give them $10 and you $10. And they're doing it with straight cash. Or Dropbox would say, I think you could set up a referral type program where for every person you refer, you get, we're going to ship you a specialty box of tea, coffee. I don't know what it is, right? Something that's meaningful enough that it's not like, oh, I don't care, but something that's cheap enough that you can probably do at scale. Yeah, I think your key would be free samples. I definitely, my wife got sucked into Blue Apron that way, so it works. Yeah. So the product, it like, so I'm using Slack during the day and Slackbot will message me and say what? I think what you could do that'd be really interesting is like, for me, just personally, if I got a message, it was like, oh, do something kind for someone. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Not that I want to be a jerk, but like, I don't know what to do, right? It's not directed quite enough. I think if you could set something up that's like, hey, you are assigned to this person. And it's almost like a secret Santa, but like a do something good for somebody. So if you were assigned, it was like, hey, you need to do something good for Nicole in engineering, then I think that could be really interesting. Then your target is probably like people ops, HR, just because CEOs probably, I know if I emailed my CEO that, he wouldn't read it just because he's got bigger fish to fry, you know? But people ops, that's their job, right? So people ops HR, where they're trying to figure out how to make people happier and how to make employees more engaged and productive. And yeah, and then from there, probably just LinkedIn scraping and emailing a bunch of people. But yeah, I feel like people jump really quickly into professional full suite email tools, when like really, if you're emailing 50 people, you're fine. Yeah. The way that I do most of my work is content marketing, because that's like what I have, right? I have a book. So honestly, a lot of the time, the easiest way to reach people is just to start giving stuff away. And then if I were to email people and say, hey, buy my book, they'd be pretty pissed. But when I email people and say, hey, here's 5 chapters of my book for free, let me know what you think, they're usually pretty happy and a lot of people buy. So I think we're probably running out of time, but if there's anything I can do for you guys, let me know.